Blog Talk Radio.
Is it true?
Don't ask me about my business.
No!
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
The guy's methodical, respectful, worst of all, patient.
That doesn't make him Yoda.
Maybe you should check in here for a few days. Can't handle on things.
Okay, so what do you call yourself? Eh? Como se llama?
Antonio Montana. And you? What you call yourself?
This is DJ Squid and
I'm coming out.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Greg Doss / DJ Squid Show. And I'm hoping that I'm not getting any... I'm hoping everybody can see me. And if anybody that has the link but can hear me on YouTube and on Facebook or anything that you don't see me, let me know so I can make sure that I'm not just moving on and nobody's picking up the show. Now, if you happen to want to call the show live after I start playing these videos, you can call 319-527-6090. That number is 319-527-6090. I'm hoping everybody can see me. So for those who don't know, me and the city of Tampa are engaged in a pretty contentious battle for some public records requests. And it started back in 2017 when I was arrested for perjury. Official proceeding falsely. I ultimately won that case. The case ended in my favor. And now I'm litigating in federal court for malicious prosecution. Now, the underlying issues are about properties that I obtained lawfully. And for those who did not get a chance to see me in front of the Tampa City Council, you can go to my YouTube channel, Greg Doss, DNAPSC. And you will see my last appearance in front of Tampa City Council. What I want to do today is I want to play audio from the first time that I had an issue with Tampa police officers falsely charging me with something. And then, in this case, the officer just never showed up. It's kind of one of the strangest things. And what I want to say is Judge Conrad was the first judge that I ever stood in front of. And I'm going to tell you, he was like a godsend because what he gave me was a professorial kind of instruction through the process because I was learning the law like so many other people who aren't skilled necessarily or who aren't legal professionals, haven't gone to law school, you know, picking up bits and pieces from the internet and from other people who probably never have had a day in a courtroom. So I was definitely in a different place in 2014 when this case took place, then I end up progressing to say today. And so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and plug in the audio from the courtroom appearance. So let's go ahead and get this started because we have like 45 minutes worth of clips to listen to.
Who's doing this for the state? Do we have witnesses here? The officer? Okay. Where is Ms. Hansen?
Good morning,
Mr. Doss. We've got to wait for the state attorney to come back into the courtroom.
Your Honor, while we're waiting, may I ask you a question regarding Paula Reilly? That's the one you had me hold the warrant for? And you said submitted 60 days. You had already signed it. Should we just destroy those?
Shred them.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Okay.
Because this is already signed and dated.
You give them to me. If you want to give them to me, I'll destroy them.
I'll just mark your...
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to State versus Sir Greg Doss. and this was on the 10:30 docket, but we're going to start earlier, and this had to do with request for information Mr. Doss had submitted to the state to get information regarding the nature of the offense, the basis for the stop, written documentation that would be relevant in potentially the case going to trial. So just out of curiosity, did the state give Mr. Doss any additional information?
No, Your Honor, I don't have any additional information to give.
Okay, who's the officer?
This is Officer Barry.
Okay, come forward, sir. Raise your right hand, please. You swear firm testimony about to give will be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And state your name for the record. Spell your last name.
Bernard Berry, B-E-R-R-Y.
How are you employed, sir?
I'm a corporal with the City of Tampa Police Department.
Okay.
Just Conrad, for a moment, I don't want to interrupt. I want you all to gather your information, but can I grab my notepad so
sure,
I can take accurate notes? Thank you.
Were you employed with the Tampa Police Department on July 16th of 2014?
I was.
Okay. And during the course of your employment, did you have occasion to come into contact with an individual that you either knew or later identified as Sir Gret Doss?
Not directly. Officer Cipollello was the officer that came in contact with him and ultimately stopped him.
Where is he?
He's under subpoena to be here today, Your Honor, but he hasn't worked all week. I called the district yesterday because I haven't heard back from him. He's not on duty at all this week, so I don't believe he got served with the subpoena and court notified. I sent him an email. I tried to call him on the phone number that we have at our office.
Did they reject the subpoena?
It hasn't been acknowledged. So he hasn't.
What does
been,
that mean?
So usually when you subpoena.
Did I not say I wanted him here? I wanted both officers here. Did I not say that?
Yes, you did, Your Honor.
Because this thing has been going on for months, and I need the information that Mr. Doss, I think, at whatever level, he's entitled to understand the reasons what brought him to court, and I don't know if Officer Barry has that information today. So, what are you exactly, let's articulate on the record, what are you seeking from Tampa Police Department?
Okay, for the record and on the record, I'm still here under special appearance. The special appearance is filed into the clerk. I want everything that is entitled pursuant to Article 1, Section 16
of the
Constitution.
Give me details.
I
mean, when you say
I want the audio.
Go slow, though. Just give me, because here's what we're going to do. If you go too fast, I'm going to miss what you're requesting,
yes, sir. And
I'm going to have to determine whether what you believe you're entitled to, I determine legally you're entitled to. And so I want to make sure I understand the request. So if you could just start identifying things you believe you should get pursuant to the applicable rules and Florida law.
I want video that was taken from, I don't know the automobile number because I don't think that I saw the automobile number for the City of Tampa for the vehicle that Officer Cicerello, if that's his name, was operating that day.
Okay, let's stop there. Were you in the vehicle with Officer Cicerello?
No, I was not.
Okay. Do you have any, now, I guess I'm assuming then at some point you arrived after the stop had occurred with Mr. Doss?
I assisted Officer Cicerello with the impound of the vehicle, just paperwork.
Okay, all right. So whatever happened before that, his contact with Mr. Doss, you weren't privy to that. You
That's
weren't
correct.
Present. Okay. Do you know from either speaking to the other officer or from your own personal knowledge, is there a video of the stop of Mr. Doss and what occurred after that?
I do not know.
Okay.
I talked to the state yesterday, and I'm not sure if Officer Cicerello has an in-car camera or not.
Okay.
Okay, that went a little bit quicker than I thought. I was contemplating letting it go for the first 15. Now, I want to say this for those who are getting on, and I think everybody should be able to see me right now. Anybody who may have a question, you can call me 319-527-0100. My pacing wasn't great, especially then, and that's why I tell everybody I do highly recommend you get adequate legal advice. But what you're hearing now is just a preliminary part of any cases. It wasn't an arraignment because we're about, I believe, 7 or 8, I mean, not that many, 5 or 6 appearances in this case. And Judge Conrad and I are going to go through a pretty interesting interchange. Judge Conrad is a very professional judge. So as far as the myth being that there's no good judges and everybody's corrupt, no. And in fact, as I reflect on this time and even what I thought I knew then, in the beginning, I understand much clearer today, just like you're going to hear talking about police officers running tags, whether that's viable, valuable, or whether or not it's a valid run. He's going to articulate quite a bit while he's here, and he speaks to the professor. So I was blessed to have him, so I think more divine intervention. So let me get to clip number 2.
Where do you believe, what basis are you relying on that these items were actually physically seized rather than inventoried, that they took them and TPD now has possession of those items?
Well, the items were inside of my wallet, which ironically was handed to me inside of the county jail. But
where's the wallet?
I got the wallet back. But what's interesting is that the contents of the wallet had been removed and then placed inside the middle of the wallet. What's more interesting is the wallet was not a part of my physical possession or my personal possession. Thus, they went into the vehicle.
Where's the wallet?
Where is it now?
You have it now.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so was the wallet seized?
I don't know.
Okay. Who would know that?
I mean, I imagine if the wallet was seized, it would be on the place in evidence.
Correct.
If it wasn't placed in evidence, and it wasn't seized.
Is there any evidence list here?
No, and on the CRA it says a list of tangible evidence, and it says none across the bottom.
Okay, so the wallet you were brought sent into booking at the Orient Road Jail, right, Mr. Doss?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Was the wallet on your person at that time?
No, sir. The wallet was given to me. Let's go back to the definition of seized. Okay.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I'm using words because inventory and seize denote two things. Inventory is making a list and not taking the items. Seizing is physically taking possession of items belonging to another. So I'm using words specifically to communicate what I'm looking for. That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Is anything physically taken from the vehicle? The answer I'm getting is no.
Yes.
Is anything, well, you're saying yes, he's saying no. Is anything physically taken from your person? Did they take anything off of you and from your person at any point in time?
No, sir.
So the wallet you're saying was in, you gave them the wallet at some point for what purpose?
Never gave them the wallet.
How did they get the wallet then?
They took the wallet out of the automobile, out of the property.
When was that done?
That would have been done after, as I would define it, an unlawful breaking and entering into the automobile, which I was an occupant. And more importantly,
I need your observations. Well, I mean, did
I can,
you see
we could do it. I'll do it in layman's terms.
That's the problem.
He took the wallet. He took the wallet after putting me in his vehicle.
Okay, so you're in the vehicle. You're handcuffed, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, and then you observe the other officer go into the vehicle and take your wallet?
Yes, sir. I actually observed him through the camera.
Okay.
Through the video.
Okay. And when did you, after that point, when did you gain possession of the wallet?
At Orient Road Jail, Hillsborough
County
Jail.
So you didn't have it on your person?
No, sir.
You believe the officer or other officer took the wallet from the vehicle?
I know that.
Okay. And then somewhere at Orient Road Jail, is it upon your release that you get your wallet back?
Well, when they process me in, which is interesting because I asked to be taken in front of a magistrate, which is my right. But so the contents of the wallet were actually inside the wallet as well as my cell phone, and I don't remember what else they brought with me, but what was interesting is nothing was on me.
The jail?
Say again, sir?
What did you get when you left the jail that wasn't on your person when you got booked in?
My cell phone, my wallet.
Where did they get the cell phone? Do you know?
Inside the automobile.
Inside the automobile. Cell phone, wallet, what else?
I can't recall now because I don't recall. They may have an inventory list.
They wouldn't have that. So there's no. So they're not evidence. Now, would there be any record anywhere that would indicate that TPD or the sheriff's office at Orient Road Jail took possession of certain items during the period of time that he was incarcerated?
To answer your question, when the, for instance, Officer Cicerello would not allow him to have personal property on him while being transported to the jail. He would maintain custody of that property and turn it over to the jail staff, so it's quite possible they would have an inventory of the property when he was booked into the jail.
Okay. All right. So there would be a record, apparently, at the Hillsborough County Jail when he was booked in on this offense that might detail what items, personal items of Mr. Dawes were given to them by the arresting officer, okay? And so you're suggesting that after you got released and your wallet was returned to you, that these cards were missing from the wallet?
They were. I noticed that they were missing when the wallet was given to me inside of Hillsborough County Jail.
Okay. And when's the last time you knew or were aware those items were in your wallet?
Prior to my contact with Officer Cicerello.
Okay. All right, so we have to find out from the jail that issue. Okay, we have a video audio. Officer Berry has no personal knowledge of whether that was done or not done. We have an inventory of items in the vehicle that were not seized. They were remained in the vehicle. We have a wallet and a cell phone that may have been taken from your person or from your vehicle and returned to you when you were released from Hillsborough County Jail. And your allegation is that two bank cards or credit cards were missing from the wallet when you got it back. Am I summarizing correctly up till now?
The most notable, as well as, I guess I would have a question for Officer Cicerello, which would be relative and very material, is how would he know who I am?
Well, he doesn't know that. But what we're going to do, I'm giving you production of information. Okay. So we don't know whether there's an audio or video.
My driver's license also apparently is missing, which is kind of interesting. Because if I didn't tell him who I was, and that would be evident on the audio and the video, how would he have discovered who I was?
Okay.
Okay, so that clip, we're going to move through here kind of quick. I want to get to the end part of it, which brings me to where I am in 2023. Now, this, those who are joining late, this took place in 2014. In fact, it's, you can look it up. 14CT12077 and 120078. This case ended in my favor. It's like the second time I self-represented dealing with the Tampa Police Department. So I don't even remember what arrested me or stopped me the first time. I can't remember. But I won that case also. But the thing about this time, right, I want to say this is, again, this is early on, I'm looking at my notes, and I had to separate internet law from actual law. I had to start to learn how to do that. And Judge Conrad really was extremely helpful. And I've had other judges I've been in front of that have been pretty good as well. And there's a couple of them that I think have been unfair, but at the end of the day, the results have always been the same. And I put as much of the onus on me as I do on anything. And again, I do consult with attorneys and actually do a little bit of work coming out. But the reality is that it's better to understand policy and procedure than it is to just start ranting on about things that have no basis in law. We're going to go to the third one right now.
So what? Now go back to other items that you believe you're entitled to. Is there any other evidence that you believe you're entitled to that you haven't gotten?
I want a copy of all educational information relative to police to these two police officers, Officer Berry and Officer Cicerello. Particularly, I want Officer Cicerello's oath of office or whatever it is that gives him his authority beyond what I could admit into evidence that I've gotten from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement as it relates to what police officers really are. Now, I asked for these informations, and they are public
records. What relevance is that?
Well, to do...
Can he just testify? I'm a Tampa Police
that
Department.
That won't satisfy me, no.
It may not satisfy you, but the question is, are you entitled to
If he's
to
taking
something?
The position of authority, he has to be able to prove that he has authority. Now, if he has authority, and if he...
He would say, I'm an officer hired by the Tampa Police Department, and pursuant to my duties and responsibilities as an officer, I have authority to make arrests for violations of the law as I perceive them.
Okay, he perceives them. That's interesting. I know there's a recent ruling on that. But the other part of it is, if you are an officer and I say, prove it, and I can do that, he has to prove that he is an officer. Now, I do know that.
I'm not aware of that.
Well, Article 2, Section 5 of the Florida Constitution is clear as to who an officer is as it relates to the government of the state.
No, but why can't he personally testify?
If he came in here?
Yeah. Why can't he get on the stand and raise his right hand and say, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an officer, like Officer Berry. I'm employed by the Tampa Police Department. I've been so employed for the last 15 years. And pursuant to my duties and responsibilities as a Tampa police officer, I have the authority to make arrests for various criminal offenses. I have authority to make vehicle stops for traffic violations. I've done that 10,000 times over my career as a law enforcement officer. Why can't he do that, testify that way?
Because we deal with the law, Judge Conrad, as you are and we are right now. If he says he's that, and if he abuses the authority and he's clothed under this authority, presumed authority, then he's operating under the color of law. And now we have a Title 18 USC issue from 241 to 245. We may even have a hate crime issue.
That's federal court. We're not in federal court. Right?
But there's
here's the thing. If you want to file a federal lawsuit, if you want to find a violation of your civil rights under color of law, okay. Which would be a predicate, all right? Then you would have to file it in federal court.
Yes, sir.
And then that may be an element in terms of violating your federal rights that an individual was operating in that manner. That's not required for a driving license suspended with knowledge.
But it would be required that he has something had to give him the authority to access whatever this information is.
Here's what I'm going to do. If you want a copy of an oath, I'm going to deny that request as far as the state's concerned. But if you want to submit a public records request to the city of Tampa for that purpose,
we have.
Under Chapter 119, then you can do that. But I don't think it's relevant to the case that there's an oath of office. So that I'm going to deny.
Well, is it relevant to the something has to prove or provide authority. If you're saying his employment alone would do that, then his testimony alone.
Correct.
So then I guess we could work to impeach his testimony if he ever shows up, right?
Whatever you find relevant to that issue, you can do that. All right, outside of the oath, what else are you looking for?
Well, the audio and the video.
We don't know that yet, and I understand that.
And I want an articulated reason because...
What reason?
The reason that he, I guess, flashed this show of authority.
Okay, so what do you have any personal knowledge, Officer Berry, as to why Mr. Doss was stopped on the day in question, July 16, 2014?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, what else do you want in terms of any, what you believe are relevant materials? Did you get a copy of the police reports?
Yes, sir. And
is there a complaint about the police report?
Well, according to I guess it's a CAR or whatever this is, page 3 of 20, it states that on today's date,
whoever the Appian is.
Say again, sir?
Whoever wrote the report or whoever signed the affidavit.
I observed a silver BMW traveling southbound on 40th Street. A computer check of the tag showed the vehicle was unregistered and conducted a traffic stop. Now, we know Delaware versus Krause and State Park. We could go 1,000 different places with this, but if you observed a BMW traveling, I want an articulable reason, as I stated on the record before, that it has something to do with something other than the fact that I have the description that I have. And
let me ask you this. I mean, what you just read me, if I'm a police officer and I'm driving down the road and would you agree that randomly checking someone's tag in a computer system doesn't violate your rights?
No, I don't agree with that.
Because it's a matter of public record. If you choose to operate a vehicle on a public highway, one of the requirements is that you have a tag on the vehicle, you also have to have a valid driver's license. So how are your rights violated by him simply checking the tag and the status of the tag?
He has to, if you check something, that's called an investigation. If you're investigating something, there has to be a probable cause for the investigation.
No,
I have case law for that.
Well, you're wrong. No, listen. If I'm investigating a case, part of the investigation is either to prove or disprove the existence of probable cause. I can investigate a situation and at the end of the day find that in course of the investigation, there's no probable cause to initiate a criminal action against a specific individual. The investigation, okay, is not probable cause. So from my perspective, okay, unless you show me something legally,
I will.
I don't think you will. But if you're driving down the road, it happens all the time. I can tell you from my experience in the courtroom, officers randomly run tags. whether they run my tag or not, and if I don't suffer any consequences from that act itself, it's not unlawful, it's not illegal, and it's not a violation of any of my individual constitutional rights.
Okay, Judge Conrad, first of all, he's absolutely correct about the tag. And a lot of my frustration is more based in what would have been my ignorance at the time of the law if you were, and unless there I've learned how to better handle these situations, and hopefully I never see it again. But as he spoke about the tag information, I guess there could be some dispute one way or the other as to whether or not the officer had a reasonable suspicion to believe a crime had occurred when he ran the tag. As Judge Conrad was real clear with, and if you all search it now, the issue wasn't so much that he ran the tag, I wouldn't have known that he ran the tag. Unless he did something after, he may have something to discuss. But just for clarity's sake, the car was registered, the car was insured, which is what my belief is why he never showed up. But again, I said CAR, CSRA, the criminal affidavit, which somebody had to swear to as far as when they presented the information. After I was arrested to the state attorney's office. And that makes that kind of interesting. And in my case, 2017, there's a CRA. Get to it later on here. For 2017, the state attorney shouldn't even have filed the case. But we'll get that. And that's something that everybody out there, if you're in the camp, you may want to start really paying attention to some of your old cases that have the ability come back laterally because you may have some issues. In fact, I believe probably a bunch of these cases should pop up. And the basis for this alleged suspension was for child support, which is 3.058 versus some criminal trafficking.
I would definitely disagree with the fact that he ran the tag in and of itself. And beyond any articulable reason you have anything, it's profiling.
I don't need it.
Who doesn't need it?
Well, why would they need it to run your tag?
There's a McGay versus West holding that states clearly, and it's a federal issue. But the moment he ran that tag, he used a presumed authority, and the issue is not whether or not.
Here's the thing: I'm not going to argue with you on the law because, humbly speaking, I know what the law is. You may have a different perception of what the law is. But I'm going to rely on my training and experience as a lawyer and a judge for 33 years and tell you that someone randomly running a license plate to identify the status of that license plate in no way infringes upon anyone's constitutional or civil rights. The only time it would affect you if there is an action upon that by which you have to then comply with the exertion of authority by law enforcement. For example, if they run your tag, you don't know they ran your tag, you go home, you go to bed, you never see an officer, your civil rights and your constitutional rights have not been violated in any respect whatsoever. The only time the Constitution would be implicated is if they exert authority over you as an individual pursuant to that information. So your suggestion that running a tag is a violation of your rights is not accurate.
Well,
however, stopping you pursuant to that is in fact something that would trigger your constitutional rights, and the question would then be, was the information that they relied on sufficient to justify a legal basis to stop your vehicle? And that's the issue for me. Whether they did the tag search or not, it has nothing to do with your constitutional rights.
Well, there's actually second and fourth DC stuff, even here in Florida with
They're
that
not.
One. So.
You can, Mr. Doss, you can bring it to me all day. I'm just telling you, and you know, I respect the fact that you've spent a lot of time learning a lot more than most people who have ever appeared in front of me would know. But when there are issues that involve constitutional in the context of a criminal setting, I'm going to tell you that I know what the law is, and whatever you're citing for me is not going to stand for the proposition you're suggesting because it's not based on constitutional principles.
Well, I just note it for the record, and I guess we'll see that.
For the record.
I appreciate
but the
that.
The point is, here's got a report. The report says they ran the tag on the vehicle you were driving, whether it's even your vehicle or not, okay? And then the information had to come up that the vehicle was not registered, correct? or the tag was not registered?
On presumption, because...
No, but that's what's in the report.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah.
Okay, so you're asking me, I don't know why they stopped me, but then in reading the information, you're telling me why they stopped you, that the tag came back unregistered or not registered to the vehicle, and because of that reason, they decided that that would be potentially a violation of a statute, a law, an ordinance, and that's why they stopped the vehicle. That's the reason in the report. Now, whether you think that's not a good reason or not, that's a different issue than
right.
you understanding what the reason was.
Well, I guess I understand that the apparent context that he's attempting to utilize a type of authority, but even within that, even within the Delaware Prowl, we still get to the issue of what was the reason. Because you can't...
You just explained it to yourself.
But he can't just randomly come off the side and say, I saw this and decided to do that by observing myself at BMW.
Why not?
Well,
because you're suggesting that you can't... Law enforcement has to be reactive.
Well, the law enforcement is one
thing.
Yeah,
you say, look, so what, if something has to criminally occur, and then that's the only way that law enforcement could ever conduct an investigation. Someone has to be robbed. A house has to be burglarized. There's never a way that they could do anything legally unless something of a criminal nature had already happened.
Or was about to
happen. But there's also a proactive part of law enforcement.
Okay.
Part of that is what the officer is describing in the report, is that we have a duty to make sure traffic laws are complied with. And one of the responsibilities is if we're driving down the road, we have the authority to randomly conduct checks on vehicle tags and whatnot. And if we determine based on the information we receive that we have a reasonable good faith basis to believe there may be a violation of a law, then we can act on that information and engage a citizen in whatever the detention is, a stop of vehicle, clarification of information, and that's apparently what was done in this case, rightly or wrongly. I'm not saying what they did on a constitutional issue was right or wrong. You haven't presented that issue to me. My purpose of today is getting you the information that you would need to address the legal sufficiency of what law enforcement did. The
okay.
fact that they ran your tag to me is not a violation of any of your rights at all.
I would call it an investigation, so we'll move forward from that. But beyond
but what
that,
do you need? What do you? I'm like, I want.
I want
sure.
the. I want the video.
I know you want the video.
I want the audio.
I know you want the.
I
audio.
Want whatever he claims he pulled out of it, because we don't know that he ran the tag and the information
okay.
didn't come back.
So let me ask you this: when you run a tag, and I know the incident goes back to July 16, 2014, when you run a tag, is there a something that's generated to you that would let you have information that would substantiate your action after that?
I'm not really sure I understand your question.
In other words,
would there be a transcript of the
would there be
would
anything
that,
the tag
that
was
ran?
Yes. And what and the transcript would indicate why or what was the result of that?
It would have the result of
okay,
the
where is that document?
Not in.
It's in the police report, Your Honor, but
the document is?
No.
What comes
he's saying there's a document that's generated.
Many times officers will go ahead and copy and paste, so to speak, right in
okay,
report
that,
what they
is,
got off the database.
Sure. Is the database information what the officer would have looked at? Is that contained?
It appears to be, yes.
Okay,
but,
so
Honor,
let's do this. Where is that?
It's in the police report. However,
where is it? Give me a page number.
It's on page 12 of
okay,
20.
Okay, you have page 12 of 20.
However, it's blacked out.
Why?
Redacted.
Why?
Because the FCIC, NCIC, that's what this is. We redacted at our
no, that is going to explain the reason why the vehicle was stopped, then, right?
No.
No, he just said it would. He said it's in the report. I said, what do you look at? NCIC, a criminal background check is not going to tell him why he stopped. My question was, where's the information that they would have looked at in determining the reason for the stop? And he said it usually can be incorporated in the report, and he just looked at the report and said it's on page 12. Or did I miss that?
That's what I heard.
What's on page 12?
Sure.
I want to know the reason the officer relied upon, if it's in fact in a form that would be reduced to a writing, I want to know where that is.
Well, if this information is correct, of course, I'm not Officer Sisolo. I did not run this tag. If the tag is CZ4,
that's not a criminal history you're looking at, right?
No.
Okay,
it's
so
show me. It's a DHSMP record.
It's what?
It's a DHSMP record.
Okay, go back. So why is that redacted?
Because it's not his DHSMP record. So as a policy, we generally redact.
You
got
to tell me something. You don't think he's entitled to that? I think he's entitled to that. You have to show me something somewhere that says under no circumstance does he get that information. Because
I have no problem giving him this, but the David stuff that comes up, there's...
On who? The David stuff that comes up with respect to whom?
The other David stuff that's in here is not his.
Then I don't believe he's entitled to that.
Correct.
Because he's not being stopped for an outstanding warrant.
Correct. So what we generally do as a practice is the DHSMV stuff that if it doesn't belong to that defendant, we redact it along
right,
with
any... Right, but that wasn't the only thing done. You redacted apparently what was generated from the DHSMV site that indicated the reason why he was stopped. Somebody did that, and I want him to have a copy of that page.
That's fine, but I just want to clarify, there's also pages that are redacted that are FDIC, NCIC, and David information for another person.
Right, I'm not going to give him that.
Okay.
I don't think he's entitled
but
to that.
But why would another person be a... Wait a minute. For clarity purposes, why would anybody else's information be attached
because
to me?
Because they were associated with the vehicle besides you.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm
is
guessing.
Is that the
but
reason?
That's going to be explained on page 12. Is that what it is?
It's
do you have page 12?
I have a redacted page 12.
Okay, you're going to get page 12. Can we do that
it's
now?
It's 12 and 13. We can make copies if you
let's
want.
Do it right now. Let's make copies and give it to him right now.
No.
You want to go back? I'll do it. Or...
Now, what would be interesting?
Okay, let's stop there because I've got about another 15 minutes, and then unfortunately, I'm going to be done. I understand the video audio. We're going to address that before I leave the bench. The police report. I believe you're entitled to know the reason for the stop. Apparently, the portion of the report was redacted with that information. We're going to give you a copy of pages 12 and 13, unredacted. The other information has to do with potential criminal report history of some other individual associated with the vehicle that I'm understanding had nothing to do with the reason for the stop, so I don't believe it's relevant, and I don't think you're entitled to the other information on the other individual. Okay.
I wouldn't argue against that, but
okay.
Any information that's relative to me, and I'll do the memorandums and we'll deal with the other issues,
sure,
but also...
And I'm not preventing you from filing motions to suppress based on whatever. I want you to have the information... that you're entitled to, then to decide whether you want to do that, okay?
Yes, sir.
What else do you need?
All information on this report that's relative to me. Can we get that
in
a broad scope?
I think that's been represented now that what's left over, and make sure now, I don't want this to be like showing up and going, we don't know. The only information outside of 12 and 13 that's redacted from what the Mr. Doss has is the, whatever it is, NCIC, or information relating to the criminal history of another individual that may have been associated with the vehicle, but was not the source of any criminal investigation at the time. Is that correct?
One moment, Your Honor. Let me just make sure.
Because what's going to happen at some point, if we have to do this again, I'm going to be looking at that report. And if there's anything
else... If you want to look at it now, Your Honor,
I don't have
free.
Time to look at it now.
But
you should have looked at it before now.
I did, Your Honor.
Okay, so why are you looking at it to tell me if there's anything else that needs to be provided?
I just want to double check, and there's nothing else on here that has to do with him.
That's it, then. That's the answer to the question, okay?
Okay, I'll take
what
care.
Else, what other
value.
Information do you believe you're entitled to that you've not received yet?
Well, the audio, the video, that information, I'm just going over...
It may or may not exist. It may or may not exist, and you may or may not have a remedy if it doesn't exist. But we're going to find that out. What else do you need?
I think that would probably be it for right now.
Okay.
Okay. Now, for some reason, I don't know why my information is not here. I'll say this. The vehicle was not registered to me because I saw that somewhere, and I noticed some kind of way I can look at all my chat room inputs from here. But they're going to get to some other interesting stuff as we go along, and I can appreciate Judge Conrad being gracious enough to ensure that the try to get on. You can tell that he was kind of getting a little bit irritated with her as well, and he it there's a part of this. I think it might have been earlier where Conrad was pretty aggravated with her, and he kind of let it be known. So, with that being said, I also hope I didn't just get rid of this. Sorry, how to make this thing work, but we'll get it figured out. And let's get to that. Let's go to 5 and 6, and this is where the case is going to get dismissed at this point.
And also, I know you said you don't want to deal with this, but you have a lot of authority, Judge Conrad, you do, as well as she does. If she knows that this case didn't rise from a probable cause, and that's where my issue is going to be, then the state attorney never should have pushed this issue.
Okay,
we'll deal with the other stuff, but...
Let's do this, right? We're going to let the record reflect that Ms. Hanson, the assistant state attorney, is handing you pages 12 and 13 of the police report, and this is prepared by Officer Ciccarella?
Yeah.
Right. That were previously redacted, so is that, so give that to Mr. Doss. All right, so there you go, sir. Those are the pages that you have now that give additional information regarding what the officer did and why. What's the additional authority that you're asking me to exercise that I haven't up till now? Mr. Doss.
Well, I guess I'll go do the public records request and we'll go through the other stuff. I don't think there's anything else right now. I'm a little bit confused by what I'm looking at because it shows the vehicle's registered.
For what it is, I'm not
going
to resolve any issues regarding, I'm saying, you have to understand, I'm not making a determination as to whether what the law enforcement officer did was legally permissible or not. What I want to make sure is that you have the information that I believe you're entitled to enable you to evaluate it, and if you decide motions are appropriate regarding the legal nature of the stop, you'll have the opportunity to do that, okay?
Before we leave, because we have a couple minutes, let me refer to my notes.
The other thing I want to do is...
Yes, Your Honor, I don't think he works again until Monday.
Okay.
Do you have to be at work in order to come in on the subpoena?
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to reset this case for next Tuesday, and we'll do it at if you're available, because I'm not going to be here after February 3rd.
I'm aware.
And so what's going to happen is that whatever Judge Farr does, and he has the authority to do that. But because he wasn't here today, and I'm frustrated that he wasn't here today, we're going to reset the case for January the 27th. Let's do it at the same time. We'll do it at 10:30 in the morning. I want Officer Ciccarella here. If he is not present at that next court date, then I'm going to entertain a motion to strike his testimony in the case. Okay? What else do you need?
Well, I asked for all investigative reports of any kind prepared in connection with the above captioned case. I think we got that.
And I want him to bring any audio or video recordings with him at that next court date. And if there are none, then he'll explain why there are none. Okay?
Okay. And that would, I guess, be in the California versus Trombetta issue, because if they have the ability to do it and they don't do it, then it would constitute a destruction of evidence.
And that's what I think it was.
Well, you need to read the Bennett case out of the Second District Court
of
Appeal if you don't know it.
Well, I like the Supreme Court.
I'm just giving you a heads up, okay?
Yes,
sir. We'll do the case law dance the next time, but not today.
All right, I know, but for the record and on the record, I think it may have came across in jest, but is it necessary for a person to be on duty to have to respond to a subpoena?
You have to, well, I'm not going to hold them in sanctions right now. I'm going to give them whatever, what's today, Thursday? Friday,
yes,
so they have 4 days, 5 days to get him here. If he's not here next Tuesday, then I'll entertain a motion to strike his testimony. If that's granted, the case will be over with. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Court's adjourned to 1:30.
Okay. Here we go. So this is the culmination of everything is going to come up right now. We're going to get out of this, and if anybody wants to call, make any comments as to what you heard. I'm kind of a novice with some of this technology, but hopefully everybody is kind of following pretty well. And we're going to get to the bigger issue, and there's definitely somebody I definitely want to call. I don't know if he will, but 319-527-6090. Again, the calling number is 319-527-6090. Judge Conrad was definitely honorable, and he benefited me moving forward. Because if I'd had anybody else in the beginning, there's no telling how this thing may have turned out. Because what we did do is we challenged to go back and study and pay more attention to audios that deal with certain procedures and less with some of the stuff that I was pulling up off the internet. Some of that stuff really wasn't viable. And I would definitely take a different podcast today than I did then. But, you know, 9 years or 10 years later or so, I should be much further along with my understanding. That's just anybody. And information is not, we're not deprived of information. You may have to do a little work to get to it, but I don't think what I did is special at all. All I did was exercise just some of the basic talents I would have gathered just, you know, going to school. So we're going to close it out with this last video, I mean this last audio.
Officer Barry, do you have any? Officer Barry, you do not have to come back next week, okay?
Judge, may I have a follow-up to you, matters?
I'm sorry, what do we have, Ms. Lopez?
I'm sorry, I just have two 130 matters. If we could, I'm just requesting you dispose.
Matter scheduled before the court. I had it at 10 o'clock. I'm not sure, Madam Clerk, when was this set for?
10:30.
It was 10:30.
Yes, sir.
All right, let the record reflect that Mr. Doss is present in the courtroom.
Good morning, Judge Conrad.
Good morning, sir. This matter was scheduled before the court on January 22, 2015 at 10:30 a.m. The court set the hearing at that time specially because of certain requests that Mr. Doss had made for information from the state attorney's office regarding the charge that he has pending in 14CT120077. At the time that I scheduled the court date for that day, January the 22nd, I advised Assistant State Attorney Ms. Hansen that I wanted any officers who had information regarding this particular criminal offense to be present in the courtroom. At the hearing, I believe Officer Barry showed up. Officer Barry was the officer who arrived after Mr. Doss had been detained. And the other officer who initiated the stop, I believe, was Officer Ciccarello. Is that correct, Mr. Samora?
That is correct, Your Honor.
I specifically, at the hearing on January 22nd, because Officer Ciccarello did not appear, and for whatever reason, I wasn't given an explanation as to why he wasn't here, except he had some other conflict potentially, I gave the state the abundance of caution or the benefit of the doubt and rescheduled the matter for this morning at 10:30 and required that the officer Ciccarello be present at the hearing at 10:30, and was very specific in my directions to Ms. Hansen that he be here at the time. If he wasn't here at the time of the hearing, I was going to entertain a motion to exclude his testimony in the case for failure to appear. So where is the officer?
Your Honor, after speaking with Ms. Hansen, the state would announce a no cross in this case.
Okie doke.
Does the case, I don't have the case number, Your Honor.
I'm going to make sure I have the case number so Mr. Doss' record as far as this matter is corrected. So.
And if we're still on the record prior to possibly going off the record, because there's some things that we need to take care of.
Well,
there's a joint case.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Because once the case is null pros or dismissed, I have no jurisdiction, and so I'm my involvement in the case. But hold on, I'm not telling you, I'm not going to let you say anything. But I just want to make sure that we have, as far as your case is concerned, that the record is clear on the case. So
yes, sir.
Bear with me. We're going to the AM docket. We're going to. All right. So let's do this for the record. As to 14CT120077, as to 14CT120078, which is a driving license suspended with knowledge and failure to register a motor vehicle, both of those cases the state's announcing a null pros, correct?
That is correct.
All right, 14TR-121181, the no proof of insurance, I will dismiss that charge. All right, very briefly, Mr. Doss, because my jurisdiction in the case is now over with, what do you think is necessary to put on the record, if anything?
Okay, on and for the record, pursuant to 3.140, the Florida Rules of Criminal Procedure, I can now initiate a complaint, and whether, I don't know if I have to do this on the record or not.
No, you can initiate any complaint outside of the jurisdiction of the court, because it won't be handled. It's not something within my jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
Whatever the complaint would be.
Okay, then I'll just make the complaint and be clear on the record that it's my assertion at this point that Salvatore Cicero filed a fraudulent claim, and I know there's certain purviews that they can do things that are not intentional. However, based upon what I got within the non-redacted information, and I'm sorry if I was a little out of it last week. I had to bury my uncle the Friday following the Thursday, and more importantly, the flu was all over me. But when I looked at the unredacted information, and I know it wasn't done intentionally, I don't think it would be done intentionally either by a designated representative of the state attorney's office. I know you wouldn't do it. But when you look at the unredacted information, what is clear is that the vehicle was, in fact, registered. It was, in fact, insured, and all the information is present on that document. Thus, Officer Cicerello did, in fact, unlawfully assault me, deny me liberty, and falsely kidnap me. At that point, the subsequent actions I would deal with. He does not have any authority to operate outside of his authority, and we still don't know if he had any. So I just want to make that clear on the record.
All right, here's the thing, that we're occupying court time for people that have other things to do, and this is a matter that is not going to be within my purview or jurisdiction, even if I remained in this division. So
yes,
we're going to terminate the court's hearing today, unless you have something, Mr. Hansen, or you're good. I terminate today's court docket. The morning calendar is over, and court's in recess until 1:30 p.m. And obviously, whatever other remedies you think are appropriate, Mr. Goss, you certainly are free to pursue that.
They want to look at it later. I think you can go online and all that. But even my digging relates to that other, because we're far beyond the prosecution issue. As far as the three, that would have been some criminal thing. I could have just attempted to ask the state attorney to do something to him, or just tell the attorney general, somebody who's probably not going to do anything about it anyway. But what history in my relationship with the TPD is showing, I don't believe that all police officers are corrupt or dirty. I just don't. Everything of anything is not the same. But this situation was like a precursor to many other things that happened. Now, where I might have dropped the ball, I probably should have just filed a malicious prosecution claim and probably could have avoided a whole lot of things down the road. The first malicious prosecution claim that I filed, despite the 9, 10, whatever number of cases I won, is the one that was most recent. It brought out the case in the Middle District of Florida, which is a 2022 CV, as in Charlie Victor, 129. That's the first time I actually filed an action, and that's my fault. But I had things going on, and there's other reasons why I didn't bring those actions between 2015 or whatever and 2018, because you have 4 years statute of limitations, the moment a case ends, to bring your action. So, if anybody has any questions, 319-527-6090, 319-527-6090, that's what we would probably call a receipt at GDFC. And by the way, no longer gregdawson.com, but gdfc.com. And if you want to follow that or get any information or any of my audios from any of my court cases, just let me know and I'll send it. It's all public record anyway. So anybody who wanted it could always access it. I'm not really good at some of this. I'm looking at this, my restream, so I'm not sure that a whole lot is being posted. And if I'm missing it, I apologize. Whether you're here on the YouTube, I don't know how this thing works for you so much. But now, with that being said, where we are now is, I wanted to talk about, because this is kind of connected to this. As anybody listening heard, once I got a copy of the unredacted police report, what I noticed, not the police report, what was it called, the David information, I think it's drug vehicle information database, he actually profiled me. And for those who saw my old BMW, my windows were untinted. This was on purpose. I didn't really care, but my windows weren't tinted at all. So whatever made him hop behind and do what he did, you know, only he and God knows. But what's very interesting is I did bring this up, and I did articulate this incident as a reason for me thinking that Tampa Department of a pattern, a policy of just filing false police reports. In my case, Detective Victor, who although they're doing a lot of newspaper articles on his greatness, and I'm sure he might have been an okay police officer for some people, but he did something when he filed a false CRX affidavit, which is interesting because that affidavit is testimony in getting me arrested for the perjury official proceeding and got out on that one, because otherwise I might just be coming out of prison. But I want to get self-represented as well. I do not recommend anybody time. I couldn't afford the kind of legal representation that I think I wanted, that's for sure. And it probably just would have been a matter of time. And like I said, I don't want to speak to the whole issue about what lawyers are and what they are not. So if everybody is comfortable with that, I can discuss more about this. I can discuss what I'm going to get from the city of Tampa's city council, or actually from the police department. I'm trying to get whatever was told to Michael Victor. Michael Victor, who is now the mayor's driver, still, and we might have an issue of negligent hiring and negligent retention. Whatever was said to him that created a situation that would have allowed him to arrest me is the document I'm looking for. And that document can't cost $1,000. Because that document should have existed when I was being prosecuted back in 2017. And just for clarity's sake, I'm still waiting for the court to kind of rule on my actual complaint. And I did send an email out to everybody, all the attorneys today, about I'm going to file a motion for reconsideration of the order because of my newly discovered information, because I did not have the unredacted criminal report affidavit from Victor that would have shown who all the so-called witnesses were until about 2 weeks ago. It would have been after I filed my motion in opposition to their motion to stay discovery. So where we are now is that discovery has stayed as to the individual who was a judge, but he wasn't operating in judicial custody when he allegedly called Victor to have him investigate me. Not to mention the Second District Court of Appeals had stayed all the proceedings that were in that he had to do with it, and he was investigating an issue that had nothing to do with the court. So we'll see how that turns out. And if anybody has anything, if not, I can probably get out of here a little bit early and get to working on some other stuff. But let me say this also. I did have a really interesting meeting today with a group of attorneys who work for an agency that helps people who otherwise can't afford adequate legal representation. And that discussion was, I say it was interesting because it's kind of motivated me not to do a paid webinar. It's motivated me to put out information for anybody in the state of Florida who has had a child support agency. And I'm not saying this in jest, and I'm not saying this. I am of the belief, strong belief, spiritual belief, that we could probably reverse 90% of these cases, especially if you weren't married. I don't say that lightly. I'll probably have to sit back and meditate or pray about it, but it just kind of hit me during the discussion, because what I gathered from the tonality and the voice and some of the direct or redirect, well, not that we're in a courtroom proceeding, I don't think they're worried about me. I'm going to win anyway. What no one ever wants is for masses to become informed or to become active. Now, when I have on my, I think there's a new video up there that says changes the reciprocity of revolution. I don't mean the violence. You don't have to be violent, but you have to be active. And if enough people get active, I believe we can get a lot of people a lot of money. But that's only if you want it. I'll think about it. We have two Saturdays. Actually, no, a week from Saturday, that I was going to do the webinar. Instead of charging, I'm going to give you enough information that if you are diligent in your efforts, it's pretty straightforward. You should be able to at least have your case reviewed. Some of the things I heard today just didn't make any sense. But I've been on this rock 55 years. I've been blessed to see the 55 years. And I'm very, very aware of what's going on with the Department of Revenue in the state of Florida. I'm sure, well, for those of you who are not very familiar with me, I'm not a secret to anybody. I'm just not very popular, which is fine, too. Maybe Rev is here, so maybe that wasn't what he intended for me to be. I wasn't supposed to be popular because it's not about anything that has to do with me. I'm just the instrument that he's used for this, because I'm a very, very small individual. So I've asked several times, why me? Because it should have gone to somebody much better than me, I would have thought. But the reality of it is that it was going on. Man, Fonzo's popped in. Appreciate you, brother. Love you. But it pushed me to say, this is not something I should be trying to charge for anyway. I'm not a rich person. I struggle like everybody else. But if the day ever comes where money means more to me than my people, it's time for me to leave here anyway. And I made it really clear in that conversation with people today that this whole issue of child support has never really had a lot to do with what men may not have wanted to do. And we can have a discussion as to who may not want kids and all that other stuff. That's not it. But I know too many brothers who have come to me and other people. You ain't got to be black necessarily. Because I've helped a lot of people. And it was a more of an issue of what wasn't explained. And I mean, I'm not talking about just adequate advisement of your rights. You're talking about basic procedural due process and substantive due process issues that have been violated for many years. And what I know we do, and what everybody can do, what I did was not special, because I'm the culmination of a lot of work and a lot of experience, whether it was in the education system, going to the greatest institution of higher learning in America, for high school, Thomas Jefferson High School, 44 Cypress Street. And if anybody's kids want a living, you don't want to go to college, you can always go to Jefferson and learn a welding trade. But that being said, going into the Army, seeing the world, being the product of parents who are both retired military, of education in Biloxi, Mississippi. Some might say I was the spook that sat by the door. And I didn't take advantage of a lot of my opportunities. But I didn't come from bad stock, and I made a gully, and it just took a little while to get going. But I think it's something that we can find a venue. I don't know how many people can come on. I don't know if it's from a YouTube or what have you. But what I honestly believe is that probably 85 to 90% of all the cases that are in existence in this area could be reversed, you know. And I had to get my notes, because I told the people that this child support thing, and I want everybody to think about it. If you have other people who step in, that's fine. It becomes essentially like an albatross of debt that they hang around the necks of many men, particularly men that look like us. And I believe black men's mental health issues stem from the fact that the burden came from something that had more to do, I think, carrying on some sort of chattel slavery than it ever had to do with children. In fact, the Department of Revenue does not, the attorney for the Department of Revenue does not represent the mother anyway. That's 12.040 C of a procedure. Hey, listen, I'm not that creative. I don't play instruments. I can't sing. I could dance. I catch football, run good routes. I could. But I can also read. And a lot of this stuff is not so difficult, but it's about staying focused on what you're there to do. I don't get involved in all the, whether or not this person is practicing and all this. That doesn't matter. I believe within 2 hours, people are focused. We can get you to pay attention to the issues, understanding the rules, without me, because I can't give you legal advice, helping you understand how to come up with an analysis and hopefully a conclusion that can get you the same kind of remedy that I don't want them to fight me. They'll probably be mad. And I believe most of what even happened with my issue that now is in the Second District Court of Appeal is about a retaliation because of the lawsuit that I filed. And anybody listening, Gregory Holder, if what that clown's name, Michael Victor, said is true, he initiated an investigation against me that had me charged with perjury falsely. The case ended in my favor. So the malicious prosecution isn't the issue. The bigger question for anybody out there who maybe have contacts with regulatory agencies, the Department of Justice, the Congressional Black Caucus. By the way, shout out to, and this is going to sound crazy, Senator Rubio. My ability to get into the meeting today was based upon my veteran status. And I definitely don't agree with him on 99.643 percent of things. But what he did do for me as a veteran was he gave me access. That gave me an opportunity to have the meeting that has brought me to my decision to hopefully, I'll reach out to, I know he's on, at least he was on, talk to him about doing this thing from a place that can help a lot of people out. Whatever is the reason why I can do this, I don't know. Because a lot of it may sound strange to some of you all who may not be as spiritually guided. I don't study all, but there's somewhere in that book, I don't know if he's going to call, 319-527-6090. I say when they come to take you up in my name, worry not about what to say, because it's going to be given to you in that time and place what to say. So a lot of times it's off the cuff, and it's in a process. But again, I think that we can do enough to help a lot of people out, not to get over, but to get out under the weight of what I believe are a lot of improper order. And I was hearing something about there's probably going to be an issue of time, but we know that a bad order is a bad order. It doesn't matter when. It's kind of like if you were convicted, have you in prison for a crime, and 20 years later they find out the crime, you didn't commit the crime, or there was some fundamental error. In many instances, they can reverse that. But there's also a lot of case law of things that have to be reversed anyway. And we'll get into that if everybody wants to do that. If you go to my website, you can find that information. And by the way, if you want to speak, 319-527-6090, you have to put number one, because there's people in here I can see that are listening. But if you press number one, I can bring you in, and you can comment. We have about 20 minutes left, but I do want to, I just don't feel right about charging for this. Not after what I heard today. Let me see. I see I got somebody here. Last four, 8669, what's your name? Where you call from? Welcome to the Greg Dahl Show.
Calling from Tampa Bay area. I'm, just excited to be a part of your show. This is Gallen.
What's going on, Rev?
I'm blessed. We understand from seeing your show and understand the games that are being played. Sometimes we are not aware of the games being played. and sometimes policy and law put fear in us, and we quickly tired, we quickly give up and not willing to fight. But because of favor and because you're not afraid, the Bible says that he doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And a wise man always is able to follow the light, which is understanding and knowledge.
Well, I appreciate that, Rev. You know, you were beneficial along, and you've walked with me from way back when we met. It's been some years now, but I was going to come to you about this. And, you know, people that don't know, a half behind basketball player, he's a good guy. Definitely could never have covered me if his life depended on it. But he's been very instrumental, and a whole lot of people have also. But after that meeting today, I just don't feel right about charging for this. I know the workman is worthy of his hire, Rev, and I know all these things, but there's something much more sinister, at least I believe, going on, that has been going on. And it kind of takes certain things to happen to bring people back. I was finished. I got, you know, I don't have these issues. Not like this. And I don't have any issues I don't think I could deal with. I couldn't deal with. But when I went to the oral argument, anybody who goes to my website and hears the oral argument, the interesting thing, Rev, remembers that the audio didn't work that day. Everybody could hear the other side speaking, but no one could hear me. And I'm pretty sure even with me stuttering through and stammering through 2014, one thing is clear. My voice doesn't crack under those mics. It's accidental. I mean, maybe it's coincidental. I don't have any proof. It'd be speculative to say that there was intentionally something going on with my microphone that in the oral argument. But I did ask for a rehearing on Bob, based upon the fact that I just know that the per curm affirming was for the sake of police deterring me. I don't have that in me. I'm built to quit. And I stand on the backs of, and I stand on the shoulders of so many people, and I see that it's illegal. Child support is not illegal. Now, what they may have done to get the order may have been improper. So this is one of the reasons for I mean, us need about 2 hours. And again, if anybody wants to donate, that'd be different. But I need to get away from some of the rumblings that come from a lot of sources. But if a person has done anything, they can show it to you. That's just how this thing works. Like I say, we have receipts here. But anybody who's done anything, just like you all can hear, it's actually me in court, and I was a novice at the time, but that was me, and I was blessed to get through it, and again, I think even having Conrad to me was a blessing, because he brought me, he put me forward to get me what I needed in order to get the solution that I wanted. But I'll tell you tomorrow, Rev.
Yeah, we have class tomorrow. At New Progress at 11. But to the words I always tell you, God is preparing you for what He has prepared for you. God has imputed the people that will enhance you, the people that will assist you, and the people that will lift you. He's already lined those people up because he's an orderly God. We're not here to talk religion, but we're here to understand, okay, all you got to do is press towards the mark, and he'll make it everything else available. He says your gift will make room for you. That means that whatever path you're following, you know, you can succeed because he's already given you the victory. All you got to do is sweat a little bit. it's not going to be easy. But, you know, you just have to be able to press and sweat. That's why sometimes you have to charge people, because as long as you give it to them, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. You got to let them earn their own way. You can't just you know, make it easy for everybody.
I understand that. I think that I try not to confuse. I know you use the foolish to confound the wise, and I don't know which. Sometimes I don't know which side of that equation I'm on. But there's somebody else on here who I know would probably flip out about the idea of me wanting to do this without charging. I don't know. I believe that people appreciate what they do pay for. Maybe bucks, 15 bucks, it's going to be 1 to 2 hours. I know what I'm worth, and I know that most people can't afford me. My dad told me when I first started doing it, to keep in mind that people who need the help, if they could afford the help, would be able to pay for the kind of help that they need. So my drive was somewhere else. It was never about simply getting rid of these child support cases. It's about not necessarily designed for the purpose, but it has been used to create wages in our community. And I spoke today in the conversation, we have about 10 minutes before I get here, 11 minutes, is that most generational wealth in the country comes either through inheritance or through insurance. The things that the Department of Revenue attack first with people is your driver's license and your credit. What's the first thing that any life insurance company is going to ask? Have your license been suspended? And then they run your credit.
Yep.
We have people who don't have life insurance. You know what? You know how much different things would be if, like, every person had $100,000, $200,000 worth of life insurance. If nobody's lawyers fight, insurance companies' lawyers fight. And State Farm, I know, here too. Even when they fight illegally and improperly and unethically. Austin Rowe and Baffle. Even when we use veterans' doctors, Austin Rowe and Baffle, against veterans without disclosing to the veteran that it's a VA doctor. But if we do what we need to do, I think this thing can turn around. And I do confidently believe that we could reverse 80% of the cases. At least
we live in a system.
Go ahead, Rev.
We live in a system that attempts to control us in every way. We live in a broken system, which is the law system that, you know, you're trying to fight. No one wants to lose control on anything. But then they claim to be right and righteous. Today you was in a meeting, and they spent more focus on a damn tree, not killing a tree, when thousands of people are being killed every day, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We find that we spend more money in how to allow nature, the tree, to live, but refuse to allow people to live in a comfortable way, in an unstressful way. So the system is to control you, to keep you down, and to keep you afraid. And again, the Bible says, I don't give my people the spirit of fear, but a sound mind, love. So I appreciate you taking my call, and give me a call tomorrow. We'll find somewhere to sit down and eat and talk.
Yes, Rev. I appreciate you more than you would know, even though you couldn't play basketball. I appreciate you.
Well, that's another thing they learned at Justin High School, how to falsify statements.
The home of all of Fred McGriff. That's right. Appreciate you, Rev.
Be blessed.
Yeah, people, we could.
And
yes, sir.
keep on being a blessing.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Appreciate it. 319-527-6090. And we're about 8 minutes from getting out of here. Again, gdnapsy.com, no longer greg.com, and focus on the things that can help you win, not of the rhetoric that goes nowhere. Another one that I really wanted to focus on is getting the people closer to information that's going to help you free yourself. As always, my disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. I don't have a license to practice law. I do not practice law. What I'm going to tell you all, and I tell people what I learned, how I gather the information. I'm giving you any information as advice to apply to your specific case, but it's general information regarding law and law principles, which, by the way, do belong to the people. So use any information obtained for educational edification only. And the reason that I say that is because I want things to be construed to be legal advice. So you need legal advice. I highly encourage you to have a hopefully competent attorney and not one of the 500 attorneys that get disbarred every year or the 6,000 that get a complaint filed on them every month. You need to buy. So we're all charged with certain tasks. At some point, I'll figure out what that task is. And for those who may not have ever seen anything, you can go to my YouTube page. Greg Dosh, GDNAPSC, and you can see what I call my reel, where you can see the outcome of my cases. You can also go to the part one of my houses with stolen reel, where which goes to the 2017 case, effectively, is that I believe that there's an underlying motive that had to do with that case that had nothing to do with something right. I believe some people somewhere knew that I realized that they were taking people's property off evidentiary hearings. And I think some of the so-called representatives that showed up on behalf of the banks may not have represented the banks. There's something, some strange things went on. And on top of that, there's a whole lot of people that seem to be angry. At any rate, anybody have any thoughts, questions? I'm trying to figure out how to read this chat room overlay thing. I think I'll get it figured out next time. Somebody who's tech savvy, probably someone in like work as a producer background. When I first started doing all radio years ago, and shout out to Steve the Dean Williams, when he told me, Greg, you're not a problems-oriented person. I don't know why you hang around with people. Is so beneficial. To the late Sunday out of Shuel Bay, Breeze, who said you don't have to pay taxes and I can show you. I'm not telling y'all you ain't got to pay taxes, but that wasn't my issue. But when he said I can show you, it caused me to delve into what else I think I knew that I didn't know. I'm not familiar with the tax thing. It's not my area. But I began to study. I began to read. And I invested many hours in this. I'm 55 today. And I got 95% of this information after I was 40. So if you look at the, what do you call those things? Let's see if I can find it. Let's see what we can find. I wanted to show you all my... No, that's not it. I thought some examples somewhere in here. Maybe it's in one of these other files. There we go. For those who've never seen this, and I have my messy desktop, you know, I'm not really so good at a lot of this stuff. Anybody who's ever done anything should be able to go somewhere and show you it right here. Or something, or some version of it. When case is closed, they go like that. No. Come on, thing. Oh, there you go. Case closed. Case closed. Case closed. Not just closed, but the also terminated by the Department of Revenue. On the case document, you can do the same thing. And I'm trying to eat up some time before I get out of here in a couple of minutes. And also, even, I guess that's not going to pop up. Oh, there you go. What a lit of release looks like. Orders of no incarceration. A check I received from the state of Florida that if I had pulled child support, they'd be eaten up. But again, I think the bigger thing is we need to have numbers. They don't want masses of people going downtown to make do some work. Oh, these are dry license cases that you all see. They get all these are terminated. These are all cases that I've won. And I'm hoping that most people don't have these kind of issues. But we can get into that. We've done that on a couple other shows. You can always go back and catch the old show. I'm kind of running out of a little steam right now. But I do want to have more people show up. If I could have it my way, I would like to see 100 people at least in every county that I'm aware of in Florida. That'd be Billboro, Pasco, Bradenton, Sarasota, and Pinellas to come in and file something to get file something at least questioning the findings in your case. Oh, she's on. Hold on. You may go into the overtime. You had to press number one, Ms. Locke. How you doing?
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Hi, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yes, ma'am.
I see that you are still fighting, and I think that what you're doing is a part of the puzzle. It's a piece of the puzzle. Everybody has a gift. A lot of people have gifts to serve and to provide service. And so when you find out how to resolve or where a piece of the puzzle fits, then you share it, right? So you've gone through the agonizing court situation, and I think now I'm hearing child support, but God has blessed you to have that knowledge. And, you know, you spread the word and you share it, and that's how we learn. And then hopefully somebody will grab a hold to what you're saying, and they share it, and you know, it becomes a domino effect for everyone. So I think what you're doing is great. I think what you're doing is great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And for those who don't know, that'd be your future mayor right there, Ms. Lockett.
I'm sorry.
For those who don't know, this Ms. Lockett may be your mayor one day for Tampa. And it could happen if those who are there would take the time to come and participate in the process. Ms. Lockett is always down at Tampa City Council meeting, and she's always involved in things that help the community. But I'm going to say this because it applies to me. We need people who are half my age being active. You know, I have more in my rear view. I have no desire to leave here anytime soon, but I know there's probably more in my rear view, especially of quality. Areas down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Young people need to be involved. And you need to become involved and informed, not based upon a record here somewhere else, but based upon what you know is substantive. Things that have merit, things that have substance. Everybody, what you do, Ms. Locke, and what you may hope to do, other than mayor.
Well, you see a vision. My job in life, I'm a regional director for organization Florida Rising. And it's an extension of the work that I've been doing for years. And my goal has been to provide the community with information that they can use to empower themselves. And I fight. I fight for people that don't know, that don't understand, and possibly don't even have the will. So hopefully with me fighting, that would ignite them to fight. But, you know, we're in the battle. We're in the battle of our lives. We're in the battle of our identity, our history, who we are,
absolutely,
who we think we are, who we think we should have been. And, you know, we have to have the wherewithal to stand up for not just ourselves, because I know what to do, but I stand up for others that I know that doesn't. And we have to, you know, if we say something. Well, if we see something, we have to really be intentional on being our brothers and sisters' keeper. Because a lot of people need to be protected, and we are in the battle of our lives. We really are. So I fight. I fight with logic. I fight with facts. I fight with principle. I fight for everything, right? But I want to see us win. I want to see us win. I want to see black people win. I want to see people win. But guess what? We are down on the totem pole, and I really want to see us win. And we have, and there's a reason why, I'm going to shut up in a minute. There's a reason why people fight so hard to shut us up, to discredit us,
yes,
to beat us,
absolutely,
down.
Yes.
They know the power, and they don't want to see us organize. If you ever organize in front of people or people find out that you're organizing, they get scared because they know the power that we have. They know the power that we have. So, but we have to pull together and fight. And you know, Greg, a lot of people say black people are all on separate pages. Black people this and black people that. I want us to stop talking negative about black people. If you got to talk negative or say something negative about a black person, say it to yourself. Because other people have talked bad about black people, and we've taken it home, right? That makes us think bad about who we are. That makes us think, be skeptical about us, right? We take nonsense back to our communities, and we repeat that nonsense. Even if we feel like a person is not doing everything that they're supposed to be doing, you know, we keep that among ourselves, and we resolve it ourselves. But, yeah, it's a war out there, and we have to be ready for it.
I'll do a specific question probably next show, because I know I have to go ahead and get on the city council or get the council straight to what it is I'm looking for to include about my property. But the city of Tampa should be on notice, because it's my firm belief that they sanctioned the conduct that led to at least two of my false arrests. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're very consistent with that.
Okay,
you,
ma'am,
come down, you say what you got to say, you let it be known, you put them on notice. You're very consistent with that.
I think on behalf of those who may be not necessarily voiceless, but may not be able to articulate it the way that it needs to be done. I'm going to say this, I'm glad you're on here, because you're a resource. Everybody who had a case in Hillsborough County in front of a guy by the name of Gregory Holder should probably ask the attorney general to review those cases. If Michael Victor touched your case, you should possibly ask for those cases to be reviewed. They're absolutely,
wow,
intermingled with what I have. Those are the documents. My orientation was off, Ms. Lockett, but those are the documents that I was showing everybody. I didn't have the unredacted version until a couple of weeks ago. And I'm saying this because in 26 years, there's no telling how many people have gone up the road improperly. And what's interesting about it is this is the same guy who had been reprimanded by the Supreme Court just mere months before he did the same thing to begin. And the thing is, he went above and beyond for somebody else who was a veteran, who I appreciate, because I know go through a lot, and I love my brothers and sisters in uniform, but he put a lot of effort into falsely having me arrested, and I think it's something that she looked at. Not for me, for somebody else who who might have been able to avoid or articulate what exactly was. Because I could have been gone for 5 years.
Wow. And you know what's important about what you're saying? Four judges. You know what's important about what you're saying? It takes the smallest incident, right? People never know who that other person is, meaning that, you know, they if anything erroneous or else happened bad, you know, it could have happened before, but no one
right.
took time to fight it. They felt defeated, whatever the situation is. But there always comes a time when you mess with the wrong person. And then what you've done in the past, because of that incident and that wrong person is going to stand up and fight you, it becomes unraveling, right? So there's a history. Ain't the first time you've had the opportunity to have the cases dismissed and so forth. But is this the first time that this has happened to someone? Maybe the
no.
first time that somebody's fought against it. So where there's smoke, there's always 99.99% time there's a fire behind it, but it just takes that one person or one incident to unravel a whole lot of stuff that's been going on. So you never know. I think that people need to pay attention. We're in a war. A lot of the truth to power is happening. A lot of stuff is being exposed, but we have to be prepared to to handle it when the opportunity seeks, when the opportunity comes. So they just may have run into the right one, Greg, that's going to fight, and this opens up the door. There's always a first to open up the door for others.
So agreed. So I'll see you on Thursday, right? Lord willing.
Yeah. Yes, I'll be down there.
Okay, and everybody, come down to no matter what city you're in, wherever you are, you have to participate in the process that affects your life if you want to see things happen. And, you know, these people in positions of authority recognize where you're at, okay? And if you think that you're going to get what you want simply by crying, moaning, and griping, ain't going to happen. They don't care about anything. And not voting and not participating doesn't keep the people who are against your agenda from voting. Get out there and do some things. You can contact Ms. How do they get us?
I can be contacted at 813-310-0793. My number is public. So it's 813-310-0793. And let me just say this, that there are so many ways that you can be involved, so many ways you can listen, so many ways you can watch, so many ways you can pay attention. Because I'm telling you, I started going to city council 3 years ago, just really paying attention to city council, and you will learn so much. And when the pluses don't add up, 1 + 1 ain't equal to 2, it makes you more interested in what they're doing. Things don't
yep.
add up. There's a power struggle. So it gives you a realization of, wow, there's a lot of junk going on down here that ain't right. But it's with taxpayer money. So, you know, if you can't come down, if you're home
right.
watching a paternity court, watch city council at 9 o'clock.
Right.
You know, just sit and listen. And you'll... The more you listen to it, the more you'll become familiar with it. The more you listen to it, you'll hear the questions. The more you listen to it, you'll hear the responses. If those responses suffice and are fine for you, then that's great, right? But it'll draw a question in regards to how this really operates, how the city really operates,
right.
how the county really operates, how the school board really operates. They give you so many opportunities to listen, to watch it on television, watch it on YouTube. They record it, so it's on YouTube.
And you can participate.
So,
you can participate from home too, Robin. Don't forget that. You can
correct.
Actually participate from home.
You can call. You have to just sign up a day before. You could just call. So, yeah, there's plenty of time. I mean, there's plenty of ways that you can do it. So we have to just be very mindful. Nothing's gonna be good. If you don't work for it, it's not going to happen. You have to put a little effort in it. And God has blessed me. God has blessed Greg. God has blessed others to be the carrier and to be a way to be able to see your way out of these things. So I take on that, right? But if you don't work, you're not going to get it. I can't spoon feed you. You're not going to get it.
Absolutely. So.
Great show.
Hey, I appreciate you stopping by. And again, people, I appreciate everybody who joined the show tonight. As always, in parting, sometimes it's not about right or wrong. More importantly, it's about clarity. You never reach resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even if that dialogue is with yourself. Take time to hug the person you love and love the person you hug. On behalf of GD, non-attorney pro, fake call, Greg Dawes, DJ Squid, I'm going to say peace. I'm going to say chicken grease. Out.
Is it true?
Don't ask me about my business.
No.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
The guy's methodical, factual, worst of all, patient.
That doesn't make him Yoda.
Maybe you should check in here for a few days. You can't handle on things.
Okay, so what do you call yourself? Eh? Como se llama?
Antonio Montana. And you? What you call yourself?
This is DJ Squid, and
I'm coming out.